Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Windham from over West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again today. I hope all of you made it through the storm okay on Tuesday. It seems like we think about March coming in like a lion, going out like a lamb, or either coming in like a lamb or going out like a lion. I don't know which one, but it seems like every other week we had a storm during the month of March. But we know if this month is almost over now, it's hard to believe that one quarter of our year is already over, 2022. But it's so good to be able to come with you once again this morning to bring the Word of God to you. So I hope that you are all up and about. And if you're traveling, I hope you have a safe journey. If you're sick and not able to go to church today, and we're glad that we'll be able to come and share with you through this Word. And we hope that you all get to feel better. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Before we begin, Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for this morning. We thank you for opportunity to read your word and to study your word, to share it with those that, Lord, that are listening today. Lord, we know that we're not here by chance, that, Lord, that you have a word for us. And so, Lord, we seek that word out today. I pray for a special anointing upon this service. I pray, Lord, that you would just cleanse me of my sin and my unrighteousness. Lord, make me a vessel. You can speak through me, then speak through me. That it always be your words, not ours, that Jesus can be uplifted, that he can draw some lost person unto him, and that, Lord, that Satan will be bound from us, and that you will get the honor and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, this morning we want to think about lessons from home. Lessons from home. Think with me just a minute. What all you learned as a child at home. What were the things that you learned? What did you learn how to do? Maybe you learned how to milk a cow back in your day. You know, our kids don't know anything about that today, do they? They think you just go to the grocery store and get it. You know, maybe you remember how to plant a garden. Maybe your father or grandpa or somebody taught you how to grow a garden. Maybe some of you women were taught how to cook, and you remember how your grandmother made those biscuits, or how your mama, you know, cooked her roast or whatever have you. But, you know, we learned lessons from home. Maybe your father was a mechanic or loved to tinker old cars, or maybe woodworker, and he taught you those things. But, you know, at home and being in the home, there should be many more lessons, and it should be some spiritual lessons that we must speak and we must preach at home. Now, I don't know where we have lost that desire to teach at home and to share at home, and for our homes to be a place that where our children and we ourselves worship God and are taught of God. We know in the early church in Acts chapter 5 verse 42, it says they were daily in the temple, and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus. Now they were in the temple, it says, and they were in every house, and they did not cease to preach and to teach Jesus. We know in Romans chapter 16, verse 5, it's talking about Aquila and Priscilla, and it talked about greeting Aquila and Priscilla, and it said also greet the church that is in their house. We know that in the beginning of Christianity, that churches were in the house, and it was within the house. I know that a lot of our churches are going back to that, especially on Sunday night. Now, we love our Sunday night service, and we keep having them, but there's a lot of them who have home studies, and different groups meet in different homes. Well, in the early church, the church was in the house. It was in the home, and the teaching and the spiritual teachings were done in the home of Christianity. Well, we seem to have lost that somewhere. I don't know what happened, but for some reason we think that just coming to church on Sunday morning, and sometimes only on Sunday morning, or coming to church maybe all three services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that we think that it's enough. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you it's not enough. It's not enough. We are losing ground, and we are losing ground quickly in our society, in our nation, in the world itself, but especially in America. We cannot, as a church, by meeting, just having your children on once or twice a week, and sometimes just once a week, we cannot overcome the things of this world and the things that they're being taught every day through this society, whether it's in their school, whether it's with their closest friends, whether it's on the social media, the TV, or wherever it may be, brothers and sisters, we cannot overcome this onslaught of evilness that we have and iniquity in our nation if it's not done in the home. We need the lessons to be taught at home. It all begins back at home. We see all of the crime and we see all the things that are happening, the murders and the crime, the stealing and the things that are going on. Brothers and sisters, it has to start in the home. It must be taught in the home. We have heard over and over and over again, you know, that the problem with our society is fatherless homes. Well, brothers and sisters, I don't think it's just fatherless homes. I think it's unchristian homes. There's fatherless, all right, but the fatherless is that our Heavenly Father is not in that home. Our Heavenly Father is not being taught in that home. My son, who's pastor at First View, we were talking about this week, and we were talking about the home, and it really just inspired me to preach this message this morning because he's exactly right. It's in the home where we're losing ground. We must get it back in the home. Christianity being taught and the things of Christianity being taught in our homes. It must get back to the house. So I want us to look in Colossians chapter 3 this morning. We're going to begin in verse 12, and we're going to read down through chapter 4, verse 2, as we think about lessons from home. What is it we need to be taught from home? And I believe the writer of Colossians, Paul, that he writes there to the church at Colossae, I believe he covers exactly what we need to be seeing done in our homes today. What are those lessons? So let's begin then in verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. My mama says I talk too fast and I give the scripture out too fast. She can't keep up. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. He says, "But put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, that they which also are called of one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey all things your masters according to the flesh, not in eye service or of man pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving." You know, this morning as we read what he's writing here to the church at Colossae, as I said, I believe he really teaches us what we need to be teaching at home. What should be those lessons at home? What should be the things that we are trying to get across to our children at home? So I want us to look at three things here this morning that I really want us to think about. When we think about what are we doing at home, what are the lessons that we are teaching at home? What are you teaching your child at home? What is it that you're teaching him? The first thing that he says is, let peace of God rule. Let the peace of God rule. Number two is, we're going to see that he says, let the word of Christ dwell. let the word of Christ dwell. And then we're going to close by just thinking just briefly about the dangers of today. What are the dangers that we see of today? So let's think about these things as we think about what lessons are coming from your house. What lessons are you teaching from home today? We know we talk about homeschoolers and the church meeting in the home, but I just want you to answer the question to your own personal home. What kind of lessons am I teaching there? When people come into my home, what kind of lesson am I teaching? So let's look, first of all, at the peace of God rule. Now look back at verse 15. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to that which also you are called of one body, and be ye thankful. He says the first thing that ought to be taught in our home is peace. There should be peace amongst the members of our families. We are of what? Of one body. Now, you want to know why our churches can't get along? You want to know why so many of our churches have so many problems, brothers and sisters? It's because families can't get along. People living under the same roof won't speak to one another. People that are in the same family that can't get along with one another. They hadn't been taught to allow the peace of God to rule in their hearts. They hadn't been taught to let the peace of God to rule within their families. And we see that he tells us, how do we do that? How do we find that peace of God ruling within our heart? How can we get back to allowing that peace of God to be within our families, that we are teaching the peace of God? Is your family at peace? Can your children sit down at the same table and eat a meal together? Can you and your wife sit down and watch the same TV program together without fighting or squabbling? What about when you put everybody in the car? You know, there was a video that we showed in our church one time, and it showed this family arguing and fussing and fighting, and they hollering at one another, hurry up and get in the car, we got to go. And one kid, I don't want to go. And they just fighting and fussing back and forth. And finally they get in the car and they fight and fuss all the way through the church. And this one's touching me, this one's looking at me. You remember those days of raising your kids? I do. And when they drive up at the church, they open the doors. And as soon as they step out of the church, what do? Put a big smile on their face. Oh, hey, how you this morning? Hey, how y'all doing this morning? And they look like the perfect family. I ask you this morning, what kind of peace is it in your family? Is there any peace in your family this morning? How can you have peace in the church if you don't have peace in the families that make up the church? We must be teaching that peace of God should rule. So how does that happen? Well, it begins back in verse 12. What did he say? Put on there the elect of God. If you're elect of God, put on what? The holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. So I kind of tie all those up into humility. Humility. Humility must be taught from the home. It must be taught in the home. If you are humble of mind, then you're going to be merciful and kind and long-suffering. You're going to show for some meekness, I do believe. I believe if we can ever get that humbleness of mind in a person, then brothers and sisters, we can see some mercy and some kindness taking place. But see, we're not humble. We all want our own thing. We all want what's ours. We don't want nobody else touching. Isn't it amazing that how a child from the before it can speak? Sometimes the first word that a child speaks is not mama and daddy, but what? Mine. You know, that's mine. If another child gets his toy or something, the first thing they do is grab it and say, that's mine. And we are taught no humbleness. We're taught no meekness. We're taught no long-suffering with one another. Brothers and sisters, if you have a Christian home, then you ought to be a humble home. You'll be not one that's scared and afraid, but one that honors each other and one that loves each other. And we see that he says, first of all, put on these bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. He said in verse 18, the wife should be humble unto her husband, should submit herself unto the husband, because this is fit before the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean she's supposed to be some kind of doormat and the father ought to rule the home with an iron fist and stomp all over her. No, it says she humbly submits to him. She humbly serves him. So we see that for peace of God to rule, there must be humility. Must be humility. Then look at the next thing he says in verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. So did you see that? We are to forbear one another and forgive one another. That word forbear is kind of like being patient with one another. Being patient with one another. Isn't it amazing that we can be patient with everybody, but so many times it seems as if that we're not patient with our own family. You know, you have to be patient at work, and boy, you have to work hard to keep your patience under control there at work. You have to be patient when you're in Walmart standing in the line. You have to be patient if you go to the gas station. And so when we get home, what do? We run out of patience so many times in it. But patience must be taught in the home. Are we patient with one another? Are we forbearing? Are we forgiving one another? I know my wife tells me a lot of times, she said, I don't know how you can be so loving and understanding, compassionate with other people, and then sometimes you're not that towards me. You know, how can you be that towards people of the church? How can you be like that with other people of the church, but it seems like you're not that way with me, not so understanding with me? So many times I had to look at myself and say, you know, she's exactly right. He says here that we need to be lying, the peace of God to rule in our hearts and to rule in our homes and through humility and then through our forgiveness. Being willing to forgive one another. Being willing to forgive those of our family, those of us that have large families. I know we have a large family to get around, and so many times one or two can get bent out of shape with other ones. Isn't that true? Well, are we willing to forgive one another? Well, he says we need to, even as Christ forgave us. Now, last week, if you were with us, you know we did the Lord's Supper. And one of the things that we talked about, our fondest memories of Christ was what? His forgiveness. The way that he was willing to forgive people. People would repent, he would forgive them. Now, let me say this, in a family, it doesn't make any difference whether or not they ask you for forgiveness or not, you should forgive them. You say, but wait a minute, preacher. They hadn't asked. When they ask me for forgiveness, I'll give it to them. Well, they probably are saying the same thing about you. They probably waiting for you to ask for forgiveness so they can forgive you. See, we can't do and we can't make other people do what's right. So the forgiving part does not rely upon our willingness to forgive them, does not rely upon their ability to repent and ask us for forgiveness. You should forgive them. You should forgive them for what they have done before they ever ask for forgiveness. How did Jesus forgive us? When he was hanging on that cross, nobody asked for forgiveness. When he was hanging on that cross, nobody said, Jesus, man, forgive us for doing this. We hate we did this. No, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. A lot of times forgiveness in the family and problems in the family is because one's not willing to forgive and there's a misunderstanding and both sides don't even know what's going on. Forgiveness rests upon you. Rests upon you to forgive if you have something against someone else. You can't wait till they ask for repentance. You go ahead and forgive them and move on with your life. Don't hold that grudge. We see that we need to be taught that in our family. But so many times, our parents are not teaching that to our children. Our children see our parents not forgiving one another. They see the husband not forgiving his wife. The wife not forgiving her husband. They hear you talking about people at work. How you can't stand this one. And how you wish you could get back at him. And boy, if I ever get a chance. What are we teaching at our homes? Well, let's look at the third thing. He says the peace of God should rule. It should rule through what? Love. The charity. He said in verse 14, above all these things, put on charity. Above all these things, put on charity. Look what he says it is. It's the bond of perfectness. Did you see that? If we want to live perfect, then learn to love one another. Do our children see love within their home? Do they know that you're loved? You know, my home, wasn't a big hugger or kisser family. Now, Denise's home, my wife's home, her family, they all want to hug you, and give you a big hug and stuff. And they was constantly telling everybody, you know, hey, I love you, I love you. And, you know, we have to be careful. Do we show I love you? Do we say I love you? Do we show our love to our children? Do they ever hear you say, hey, I love you? Do they ever hear mama say to daddy, hey, I love you, or daddy? Do they see you expressing that love for one another? You don't know what's wrong with our families. You know why we got over 50% of our marriages, they say, end in divorce? It's because our children have never been taught how to love each other. Matter of fact, the Bible says the older women ought to be teaching the younger women how to love their husbands and love their children. We got older women that don't love their husbands. We got older men that don't love their wives. Their children never see the love of God. See, we got to have God back in the family. God is the one that teaches us what love is all about. And we need to let the peace of God rule in our hearts by the love of God ruling in our heart. How are we ever going to love one another out here in this world? How are we going to love one another when they hear our parents making those racial slurs and racial remarks? How are we going to love one another when we hear them downing people at work and others and talking about, boy, I hate my boss, or I hate this one, or I hate that one? Oh, brothers and sisters, what are the lessons that we are teaching from home? Love's got to be taught in the home. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, do your children ever hear you tell your wife how much you love them? Do they ever see you show any kind of expression of love? Love must rule. It must be taught. Then look what else he said. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. In verse 15, once again, let the love of the peace of God rule in your heart, that one body being what? Be ye thankful. In verse 17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it unto the Lord. Doing what? Giving thanks. You know, one of the things that really grates on my nerves today is how ungrateful and unthankful people are. People are not grateful. They are not thankful for anything. It comes from home, brothers and sisters. Everybody thinks they're owed something. Everybody thinks that, well, it's mine anyway. And there's no thankfulness and gratefulness. We need for people to be thankful. People are not thankful for their nation that they live in. They're not thankful for the school. They're not thankful for their home. They're not thankful for their job. Brothers and sisters, we need to get thankful. We need to be thankful to God for what he has done for us. Our children need to see you showing thanks and gratitude. Well, let's look at the second. We're running out of time. He says, let the word of Christ dwell. The peace of God rule, and the word of Christ is to do what? Dwell within you. To dwell richly in wisdom. Look at verse 16. To dwell richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So here he says, let the word of God dwell in you, richly with wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms. Now, what are we teaching our children? Let me ask you a question. It says here, you know, in hymns and spiritual songs. Do your children know more hymns and spiritual songs because they're in that little children's choir at church or youth choir at church? Or do they know more rock and roll, country, and head-banging music? Which one does your child know more lyrics to? Do they know more lyrics to the gospel? Do they know more lyrics to the hymns that are being sang on Sunday? Or do they know more words to these secular songs that they listen to? What's your radio set on in your car? What are they listening to? What do they hear you singing in the shower? You know, what are we teaching our children? The word of God must dwell within our homes, and we must be teaching them these spiritual things, not just these material things and these carnal things and these things of the world. You know, you can go out there and teach your son to throw a curveball and to throw a baseball 100 miles an hour, and he may make it to the major leagues. But let me tell you something. If he don't know Christ, what's going to happen to him? Just because he makes the big league. You can teach a little Susie how to stand up straight and walk pretty and be the prettiest little girl, and she can win every kind of beauty pageant. But listen to me. If you don't know Jesus, what good has it done? The Bible says, what profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What are we teaching? What are the lessons coming out of our homes? Are we teaching the word of God in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? What are we teaching them? Well, one thing that he says we ought to be teaching them is how to be obedient. Look in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things that you dwell, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents. Now we could spend the rest of the time right there, couldn't we? You know, we've heard it said a lot of times, you know, everything is run by a switch in the house with the children. You know, we got a switch to turn on TV, switch to turn on the lights, switch to turn on the garbage disposal, whatever. But everything's run by a switch with the children. What about our children? Why are they so disobedient in society? Why do we see so much crime? Why do they not obey? You know, when you got a city councilman saying, when you see a police officer chasing one of us, throw a rock or a brick at the police officer. You know, if a police officer tried to stop, don't stop, run. You know, why are our children not learning to be obedient? Because they're not taught obedience at home. Why are there so much crime? Why are there so much going on, violence and stuff happening in our schools, and fightings and killing happening in our schools? What's happening? It's because children are not being taught to be obedient. It has to be done at home. We can't do it in society. We can't do it as a church. It must be taught at home. He says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't provoke them to anger, you know. But he says to correct them, but don't provoke them. The children must be corrected. They must learn to be obedient. If they're not obedient to their parents, they'll never be obedient to God Almighty. There must be obedience taught from the home. He says, look at what he goes on down and talks about the servants in verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not as servants or men pleasers, but a singleness of heart, fearing God. In other words, he's saying the servant, when they see the way the servants act at home. Now, I don't know about you, but we don't have any servants at our house. The only servant we got at my house is me and my wife. We the only ones that serving. Nobody else is serving. But in their day and time, they had manservants and maidservants. And he says the servant should be obedient. And if the servant is a Christian, he's obeying not as unto man, but as unto God, because he fears God. Listen to me. You won't know why we have so many children having problems getting a job. You won't know why we have so many of them keeping a job. You know, first thing, the boss gets on them real hard because they didn't do something. I quit. He ain't going to talk to me like that. Well, listen, if you were being obedient, he wouldn't have done that. We must learn, and we must teach our children to be obedient. We must teach them, number two is, that there will be just reward. Look at verse 24 and 25. Knowing that the Lord shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve Christ. But he that doeth wrong is going to do what? Receive that which wrong he has done. Oh, brothers and sisters, our children need to know there are just rewards. Not everybody's going to get a trophy. Not everybody's going to be there. Those that are of the Lord, he said, are going to be there with the Lord. But those that have done wrong will receive the wrong from which they're done. There is no respect to person. You're not going to be able to throw that card in it. You just don't know who my daddy is. I had a guy tell me that one time when I was working at a service station, and he didn't want me to charge something, some work he had done, and he wasn't a regular customer. And I said, man, I can't make you a ticket. You don't have a charge. Well, you just don't know who my daddy is, do you? No, I didn't know who his daddy is, and it doesn't matter. Oh, brothers and sisters, there is no respect of person with God. And we need to understand that we're going to have a day that we're going to have to give an account for what we have done. He says, masters, going into chapter 4, he says, masters, give your servants what? That which is just and equal. So just as the servants got to be faithful to the master and obedient, the master's got to be fair and equal with that. What do your children see you when you deal with people out in public? How do you act to that person that checked you out at Walmart and they didn't give you back the correct change? Or how do you act at the drive-thru when they don't get your order right? What do you say and what do you do? How do you respond to those that are around you? What kind of lessons are you teaching your children? Then lastly, he says we need to teach them to pray. Continue in prayer in that verse 2 of chapter 4. Continuing in prayer. When's the last time your child saw you kneel and pray? When's the last time your child really heard you pray an honest prayer? Not at dinner time, when you just do that blessing that you do all the time. When's the last time your child really heard you pray? Our children need to be taught how to pray. And they need to be taught. You know, society today, when we have grown in our church won't pray, can't pray. They had never been taught how to pray. You know, the disciples even asked Jesus, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And he taught them. What lessons are home are you teaching? Brothers and sisters, there are dangers around us everywhere today. We need to be giving these lessons from home. Listen to what he says in closing. Titus chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Titus 1, verse 10 and 11. He says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially them of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching them what? Things that are not right. Teaching them the things that they ought not be teaching," Titus said, "but they're doing it for the money, for filthy lucre's sake." He says there's people whose mouths need to be stopped. They're out there teaching things that should not be taught. Subverting what? Whole households. Brothers and sisters, what lessons are you teaching from your house? What lessons are your children learning from your house? What are they learning from you? We as a church can't do it alone. We've got to have homes, once again, where the Word of God is taught, where the peace of God rules within their heart, where the Word of Christ dwells within them richly with wisdom, teaching their children the things that they need to do, seeing their mamas and daddies as examples of the way they should live. What's your home like today? What lessons are you teaching from home today? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these that have listened so attentively today. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon it now. Lord, help our homes. Because if our homes cannot get revived and get right, then our churches cannot get revived and get right, and our nation cannot be revived and get right. Speak to our homes today, Lord, as we give you the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.